Okay, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. I love the way some of this stuff is run.
O mortal.
Yeah. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
Do you know what, really, when you actually, the trouble with so much stuff in the Bible is you can just read by it, can't you? You could read by that so easily, that little phrase that we've been focusing on. You could go, oh yeah, that's nice, and just carry on to the next verse. But when you actually stop, and you actually start to read what is written there, and you start to meditate on it, and ask God to show you what it means, it's something else. It's really powerful. It's simple, isn't it? What's written here is, they're simple words, but they're powerful words. They're transforming words, aren't they? They've got the ability to just speak right into our heart. So it's that little phrase we're focusing on, isn't it? To act justly, which Adrian spoke about, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And that verse just brings into focus, for my view, very clearly and very sharply what God is looking for. Because it says in the verses before that, God isn't looking for sacrifice. You know, we're talking about a time when there was a system of sacrifices to make yourself right with God. God wasn't looking for that. He wasn't looking for how many animals could be bought and how much blood could be shed and how much oil could be used in that whole process. God wasn't looking for that because there is nothing you can do to make yourself right with God. Because to do that is almost to miss the point. Even though there is a whole Levitical law about bringing sacrifices to God, yeah, God did require that, but actually, if that's your focus, you're missing the point. There's nothing you can do to make yourself right with God. There's only one sacrifice that can do that, isn't there? Yeah. And that's the sacrifice of Jesus, his blood being shed, and his resurrection, destroying the power of death, and our faith in him. That's the only way. And we can easily miss that. We can easily miss that. Even if we've been around the block a few times, we can miss that. We can start to believe something else. We can start to believe a lie. So these words are really challenging because it brings it all into focus. What it's saying here is, yes, I require those things of you, but actually if you focus on them things, you miss the point. There's nothing you can do to make yourself right with God. And if you can understand that, then maybe you can walk in a way that I want you to walk. Because once you start to understand that there's nothing you can do to make yourself right with God, it changes your whole perspective. It's not about works and what you do to make yourself right. It's about a changed heart, isn't it? That's what it's about. And what God is saying here is, it's about a changed heart. That's what I'm looking for. I want you to do justice. I want you to love mercy. And what was the other one? That's what it's about. It's a heart thing. It's an inside-out heart thing. Not just an external going through the motions, but something that works from the inside and is expressed outwardly. That is what God is looking for. So this morning we're going to be looking at mercy. And again, it's one of these words that you read over and over and over in the Bible. And you just read it, and it doesn't really necessarily impact you. You know, I started off thinking about this, and thinking, well, it's just the same as love, isn't it? That was my starting point, Lorraine. You theologian, you. Oh, Dr. Curran over there. So I started over there thinking, mercy is just another word for love, isn't it? That's what I thought. And perhaps it sort of is. Perhaps it is an expression of God's love. There's no doubt about that. But lots of things come out of God's love. And I suppose if you were to distill it and separate it all out, actually there is something that I believe God wants to impart to us this morning about mercy and what that actually is. And wants us to start thinking about it in a slightly different way. So when I read these verses, it used a slightly, in my opinion, the phrase it uses is slightly odd, really. It says, to love mercy. It says to act justly and to love mercy. It didn't say to act justly and to act in mercy. Not that it isn't saying that you shouldn't act in mercy, because that's just the natural consequence of loving mercy. But I started to think about it. I thought, well, what does that mean then? To love mercy. And I started to meditate on that and think about that. And I started to sort of come to the... It came into mind that it's maybe seeing the world through the eyes of mercy. And recognising that that is one of the ways of God. That it is part of God's character to pour out his mercy on this world. And start to think about the world and see the world in that way and recognize that it is the ways of, that is the way of God to pour out his mercy and to love that, because we're going to see actually it's not that easy to do that sometimes. That's what I started to think. So yeah, it's about walking in mercy, it is about being merciful, but it's also loving that whole way of God, that he is merciful. And sometimes that is a challenge. We'll see it really clearly as we move on this. It's not always something that comes naturally to us as human beings to love mercy, because sometimes we think there's no justice in that. Funny enough, we talk about justice. Sometimes we'll see mercy and think, well, Lord, where's your justice? There's something not right here. But God has got a limitless supply of mercy, and our supply is quite limited, and it runs out pretty quickly. Well, mine runs out very quickly. You know, I get wound up quite easily, and my mercy supply gets pretty low. But so I thought, well, God, okay, what are you saying then? What does mercy mean? What does it mean? And Lord, I don't want to embarrass you, but what your story this morning is a picture of God's mercy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'll now explain what that means. So I was like, God, what does that mean? And to be honest, I didn't really know until this morning what I was trying to hear from God. But I sense this, that mercy is God's response to the cry, and that's a really important word, to the cry, to the plea, to the distress of the human heart.
Yeah.
And that really impacted me. I started to think about that. I thought, yeah, you're right, Lord. I thought I'd better go and look that up in the Bible. And do you know what? The Bible is completely packed with that whole principle. I'll go through some of them in a minute. I'll read it again. Mercy is God's response to the cry. And that's the word that really stuck with me. Yeah. The cry. Something deep inside every human being that cries out to God. Not just, yeah, I'll take him or leave him. Not that heart attitude. No. It's the cry. It's the cry of the heart in distress, in need, in desperation, in loneliness, in lostness. All of those words, in hopelessness, in guilt, in shame, in need, oppression, spiritually, physically, rejected, in need of protection, in fear, in poverty, in suffering, in physical infirmity. in brokenness, basically, there is a cry. When people are in brokenness, there is a cry, isn't there, of the heart. If someone is genuinely in brokenness and desiring God to intervene, there is a cry that comes out from deep within. And if we're sat here this morning, then I would suggest we've all done that. We've all cried out to God in some way, shape or form. And God's response to that cry is mercy. And that's the only way I can define it. That's what I feel like God is saying to me. That is what mercy looks like. It's God's response to the cry of your heart, of the heart of people in that state of brokenness. And I looked it up this morning, and seriously, it's just one reference after another. And I love the Bible app because it's so good, just listing everything for you. The days are long gone where you have to get a concordance and go, right, oh, let me look that one up. It just does it all for you. Makes so life so easy. So I'm just going to read some. There's absolutely shed loads of these, and it's all exactly the same principle. It's all exactly the same thing. This whole thing with mercy, and this book of Psalms. If you want to check this out, is rammed, absolutely rammed with references to mercy, because the Psalms were quite often written out of that heart cry, aren't they?
Yes, that's right.
Lord, I'm in distress. Have mercy on me. I'm sinking here. Have mercy on me. My enemies have surrounded me. God, have mercy on me. Listen to my cry, because I haven't got the answer here.
Yes.
Quite often, that is what you read in the Psalms. Yeah. Let me just read just a couple, because we could be here literally all day reading these. A good way of padding this sermon. Psalm 4:1, it says, answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. There's a few, I'll give you some other ones. Psalm 30, verse 8. To you, Lord, I call. To the Lord, I cried. I cried for mercy. Psalm 31, 22. In my alarm I said, I am cut off from your sight, yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. I've got loads, absolutely loads of these here. So, you know, we've got Psalm 4, Psalm 6, 9, 28, 30, 31, 40, 41, 51, and so on and so forth. I'll give you some New Testament examples of this. Matthew 9:27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. So these were two blind men. Obviously, they've got a physical affliction. They're blind. But they were desperate enough to call out to Jesus and say, have mercy on us. We don't want to live like this anymore. We don't want to be blind anymore. You've got the power to heal us. Please heal us. You know, I'm in a desperate situation here. Matthew 15:22. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. So there's this spiritual oppression that this woman's daughter's going through, and she's absolutely desperate. And there's this heart cry to God, Lord, have mercy on me. I've got no answer to this problem. Have mercy on me. And then just one more. It says, Matthew 17:15. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire and into the water. So it's another example. I think it's epilepsy, wasn't it? So there's these situations where people are desperate for God to intervene in their life, and it's coming out the very depths of their being. It's not just, do you know what, I'm a bit short this week, Lord. Can you just, like, lend us 10 quid? It's, God, I haven't got anything. Yeah. I've got to depend on you.
Yes.
Help me. Mm-hmm. I just believe that God wants to minister to that word to us this morning. It's that whole, the word cry, really. We need to hear that word. It's the word cry. A cry of the heart. And God, when he intervenes and meets that need, that is mercy. That is mercy. That's the mercy of God moving. And that's what it's saying here in Micah. Love mercy. Love that way of God that meets that cry of the heart of those people in that desperate situation. You know what? It's not always easy to do that. And do you know what I feel? The trouble is when you get up and preach, you have to challenge yourself. You're flipping heck. Do I have to listen to this as well? Yeah, I do have to listen to this. So the story that came to my mind was the story of Jonah. I love the book of Jonah because it's just weird.
That's surprising, though.
Yeah, he wasn't expecting that one. It's just a weird book. If you've never read it, just read it. It's bizarre. It is completely bizarre, but it is sort of hilarious, fascinating. But it's got a really serious message behind it. This guy, Jonah, God calls him. He's a prophet. He calls him to a city called Nineveh, a huge city. I don't know how big cities were back then. 120,000 people, it says. So I would say that's very big for those times. God calls him to go to Nineveh and to preach to them. To speak this message of repentance, saying, if you don't turn away from how you're living, then this place is going to be destroyed. And Jonah doesn't want to do that. Doesn't want to do it. Doesn't want to go to Nineveh. Doesn't want anything to do with those people there. And there might be lots of valid reasons why he felt like that. He was clearly, obviously he was Jewish. People of Nineveh, they probably worshipped lots of idols, probably did lots of unpleasant, ghastly things that he probably had a lot of issues with. He thought, oh Lord, I don't want to go there. I don't want to have to deal with those people. I don't want to go to Nineveh that's full of idols. You know, they haven't got a heart for you, Lord. They reject you. I don't want to go to that place. I don't want to speak to those people. I don't want to even mix with them. He did go though, didn't he? Didn't really get a choice. Which, you know, quite often we hear, God will never overpower your will. Yes. We've heard that preached. Yeah, I've heard it preached. I think, what about Jonah then? He didn't seem to have much of a choice here. He got on a ship, he got washed overboard, swallowed by a big fish. And then vomited back on a beach, and he thought, well, okay then, I'll do it then. I've really got a lot of choice here. And so he does this. He goes to Nineveh, and he preaches this message to them. And it says that the king of Nineveh took his robe off, and that he sat in dust and humbled himself. And the people turned their heart to God, and God relented from the calamity that he was going to bring on the city of Nineveh. Great, you think? You'd think, wouldn't you? You'd think, do you know what? Praise God. That's great. That's great news. But unfortunately, Jonah didn't see it like that. And this is what I found, it's really interesting. Because in Jonah 4, verses 1 to 2, Jonah has this interaction with God. And he says, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity. And that is really interesting. Because Jonah knew what God was like. He knew what God was like. He knew that if he went and preached this message, because God was sending him, that they would turn their heart to God. And that God would not bring that disaster upon the city. He knew that. Yet he still had a problem with it. It's really weird. It's really this strange sort of contradiction going on here. This is a man that clearly hears God, knows the character and heart of God. yeah, he didn't have any compassion or mercy for these people in Nineveh. He wasn't loving mercy, was he, at this point? He wasn't loving the ways of God. He knew that God would do this, and he was angry about this. He was angry about this. He was saying, God, where's the justice here? These people are idolaters. He didn't say this. It actually written in the Bible, but I can imagine these were the sort of these people are idolaters. They've turned their back on you. They deserve everything they get, Lord. But I know what you're like, Lord. You're going to let them off. And he was angry about that. And that's not loving mercy. And that's a challenge. I found that challenging because, do you know what? Sometimes Jonah resides in my life. I'm sometimes like Jonah. Do you know what? People are difficult, aren't they, in this life? Very. He said with conviction, Sharon. People can be absolutely difficult, to put it politely. And they do things you don't expect. They dig their heels in. They do and say and live in ways that you find disgusting. You think, do you know what? I don't want to mix with those people. What they do and what they think, that just is just not me. It's not my cup of tea. I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to be with them. Do you know what? I feel like that quite often. Quite often. Especially at work, I have to deal with people. I think, do you know what? I don't want to go there today. But I have to. I have to go and do it. And I just think, oh, help me. God, help me. And so Jonah was almost like separated, almost sort of divorced almost from God's character and the ways of God and what was going on in his own heart. There was this terrible conflict going on. Because he probably knew actually what he was feeling was probably wrong. But how do you deal with that sometimes? It's not easy, is it? So there's this conflict going on in Jonah. And I hope we can all identify with that, because I can. So despite knowing that God is full of mercy, are we walking in that? That's the thing to ask. Jonah couldn't find it in himself to do it. He didn't have that compassion. There was a limit to his compassion. There was a limit to his mercy. And we've all got limits. Do you know that? Some people are naturally more gifted and more inclined to walk in mercy. I think that is a gift that is actually listed, isn't it? So some people are actually gifted. God has given you grace, some lovely people in here. I don't think I've been endowed with that gift. To walk in mercy and compassion and listen to that heart cry coming out of people. And people that are gifted in that can see that and they can walk in that and minister to that. But I'm going to say this, that even those people have got limits. Even those people can't always walk in the mercy of God. Even those people, I think, would have a limit and say, do you know what, God, that's too much for me. I don't know if I can go down there. I don't think I can do this. Your mercy runs out, but God's mercy doesn't. And we can get angry about this sort of stuff. We can get bitter about this stuff. But God challenged Jonah here. And he said, I quite like this. He just the way he says it to Jonah. Is it right for you to be angry? It's just really funny when I read that. Just thinking, can you imagine this scenario? You've got this angry man. I've been swallowed by a whale. I've been spat upon a beach. So he's probably, his skin's all discoloured and everything from and he probably smelt a fish. It's not going to help. This is not helping. Any of this is helping, really, is it? But, you know, his skin's probably stained by the gastric juices inside the fish, and he probably smells of fish. And God's saying, you will speak this message, and he's really hacked off now. And then God says, is it right for you to be angry? Yes, it is! You don't know the pain I've been through. So I can sort of guess where Jonah's coming from here. But what does it say in Romans? It says God will have mercy on whom he has mercy. So it's talking about the story of Jacob and Esau. You know, and it says Esau, he is hated, or the other way around. Jacob, I've loved. Esau, I've hated. I'll have mercy on who I'll have mercy. Do you know what? We can't always work this stuff out. You can't. It is a, you're right, Sharon, it is a mystery. And it's, do you know what? Let God work it out. God has got purposes that we have no clue about. You see, these people, whether Jonah liked it or not, they humbled themselves and they cried out to God. They sat in dust. They humbled themselves before God. You know what? That's what God was looking for. And if that's what they did, God will respond to that. God will respond to the cry of the heart. And that's what he did. He averted the calamity. And he'll do that with anybody. And that's what God looks for. Because he says to Jonah, right at the end of chapter 4, he says, should I not have concern for this great city? 120,000 people. Jonah, you can be as angry as much as you like. I'm God. Shouldn't I have concern for these people? There's 120,000 of them. You're just one person. You're angry because you don't like what I'm doing. But God is merciful. And God will respond to that heart cry. 120,000 people. It's not insignificant, is it? One person's not insignificant, let alone 120,000 people. God's saying, do you know what? This is important to me. And he was struggling with that, to love mercy. And so, do you know what? I found it really challenging just thinking about this. That sometimes we see groups of people, we see individuals, and you think, do you know what? You don't deserve anything. But if that person cries out to God, or that group of people cry out to God, God will respond to that. And God expects us to love mercy, love his ways, and walk in mercy, and be merciful. And that is a real challenge, because that will take us to people, to individuals, and to communities, just like Jonah. And we might say, do you know what? It's not really my cup of tea, this. You know, this house in a state here, I don't really feel like I'm called to it. Honestly, you know, when I'm at work, I feel like that quite often. Don't ever feel like I'm called to this area. I'm okay going over to the rural bit. That's lovely. That particular part of Milton Keynes, I'm not sure about. It's difficult. You think, do you know what? Someone else can do that. It's not easy. God challenges us, and it brings stuff up in us that is quite unpleasant, actually. Anyway, so that was one thing. That was one thing. Next thing is this. I'll move on. I didn't realise I talked that long. Right, so Matthew 23:23. I just want to ask this question. What is the focus of your walk with God? So let me read that. That is a question I feel that I just need to ask here. And it's where Jesus rebukes the Pharisees. Quite a stinging rebuke, actually. So he really goes to town on them here. So he says in verse 23, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law. Justice, there's that word justice again. Mercy and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter, meaning those three things I've just read out, without neglecting the former. So he's saying, look, you tithe your mint and your cumin and your spice rack. You tithe your spice rack. Basically, And that's fine. I've got nothing against that per se, is what Jesus was more or less saying. That's fine, carry on with it. But do you know what? Where's your focus? What are you concerned about? You're more concerned about things like that than doing justice and walking in mercy and faithfulness. These things are more important than that. Why are you so consumed with that when there's all this other stuff that you should be focused on? You've got your focus wrong. You've got your balance wrong. And I just feel like God wants us to ask us that question in relation to this whole question about mercy that we're looking at this morning. Where's our focus? You know, is our walk with God like a tick box exercise? That's what the phrase that came to my mind. A tick box exercise. It's like filling out a form. Yeah, I do that. Yeah, Lord, yeah, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Tick box. Great. Lovely. I believe in the I believe he shed his blood. Yeah. I go to church. Yeah, tick that one. I do and say the right things. Let's tick that one off. I read my Bible. Tick box. I don't always read it. Sorry, there are days I don't read it. So, put a cross there. I read it most times, but I mix with the right people. Tick box. I give. Tick box. I serve. Tick box. Does God want us to do those things?
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. I hope God wants us to do those things because I've been doing them for a long time. Are those the things that should define us, though, as Christians? Well, they have some. It adds into it. If you didn't read your Bible, you didn't go to church, you didn't mix with other Christians, that's a problem. But are they the things that actually ultimately define us? You know, it's about our relationship with God. It's about our attitude towards God, isn't it? It's about how open we are to the things of the Spirit. Are we prepared to walk in these things? Where's our focus? So, he's talking about here, we're talking about mercy. What's our focus on mercy? What's your focus on mercy? What's my focus on mercy? Am I more interested in just making sure I look like I'm doing the right things? Or is there something in my heart that actually wants to reach out and hear the cry of mercy from the heart of people? Quite often, I just think, no, God, I don't want to do that. And that's true for a lot of us. And it's just a challenge this morning. It's not, oh, you terrible person. It's just a challenge to me and to all of us. Where's our focus? Because we can get easily consumed in just doing stuff that looks okay and we feel okay about it. It makes us feel a bit better because we're doing it. I read my Bible, feel a bit better now. I've read it. Do you know what? Good, read your Bible. But that's not what defines you. God wants something other than that out of our heart. He wants us to be people that love mercy, that love the ways of God. And I find that challenging. And I know I need to shift that balance in my life. I know I need to be a person more open to hearing that and actually doing that and listening to God and listening to that cry in people's hearts. I've got to be more open to it. I'm not naturally inclined to be like that. You know, I'm naturally inclined to be a bit cynical and a bit sort of standoffish. But God is challenging me on that. And I've got to be open to that. We've all got to be open to that. And it's not easy. It's not easy, but openness is where it starts. So the last thing I want to talk about is this question. What do you say about yourself? And it's in. I just want to look at Luke 18, verses 9 to 13.
Sorry, Luke what then?
Luke 18, verses 9 to 13. I love this little parable. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So it says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Oh man, every time I read that, it's just so challenging to hear that. And the question, what do you say about yourself? These are two men that said two very different things about themselves. One said, you know what, God, I fast twice a week, I tithe, I do this, I do that, I'm glad I'm not like other men. And the other said, do you know what, God, I'm a sinner, please have mercy on me. What do you say about yourself? Are you a Pharisee? Are you the Pharisee, or are you the tax collector? Did you start off as the tax collector and over the years become the Pharisee?
Yes.
Or did you start off as the Pharisee and over the years become the tax collector? I think I've done both. I've done both. Do you know, when I became a Christian, I got all zealous, do you know that?
Yeah.
And I became a Pharisee quite quickly. I became a Pharisee really quite quickly. It was really quite disturbing. Complete opposite to how I was brought up, you know, like, I was a bit chilled out, and then, believe it or not, and then I'm a Pharisee all of a sudden. Oh, those people shouldn't be doing that. I ain't going down there with them. I ain't going to the pub because that's outrageous, and people in there smoking and drinking. And I was all zealous, and do you know what? I haven't been a Christian that long, and all of a sudden I'm a Pharisee. Who's been there? And then you sometimes go to the other end, don't you? Oh, I'm so chilled out here. Anything goes. It's all fine. But do you know what? God, all God is looking for is a heart that says, you know, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I'm no more special than anybody else. That is what God is looking for. What is the question? What is it that you say about yourself in your heart? Because do you know what? Our hearts are deceitful, it says. It says we deceive ourselves. We kid ourselves sometimes. Ask yourself the question. It's an important question to ask yourself and to be honest with yourself about. What are you this time, at this point in your life? Are you the Pharisee or are you the tax collector? If you're the Pharisee, then just repent. That's all I can say. Just give it to God and say, okay, God, because I slip into that mode. Sometimes I'm all right. I'm like, God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. I need your help. And then the next week, I could look at some people or something and go, oh yeah, I'm glad I'm not like that. And it's so easy to slip backwards and forwards. In, out, in, out. I always seem to do a little dance up here of some sort. Why is that important? I'll just finish with this. It is really important, actually. Because the person that knows that they need mercy are more inclined to walk in mercy. Right, and that is really important. If you don't know that you need mercy and that you've received God's mercy, you won't walk in it. You won't give it to anybody else. You won't listen to that heart cry that you hear from other people. But when you've had that heart cry yourself and you've received the mercy of God, trust me, you're more inclined to listen to it. But if you're the Pharisee, you say, I'm glad I'm not like other people, and they're crying out for help. Oh, help me, Lord. And we're the nearest person. You're the nearest person. And at that point, you're a Pharisee. You just say, well, I'm glad I'm not like you. Where's the mercy there? You're not going to walk in it. You're just going to judge. What does it say in James? It says, mercy what? Triumphs over what? Judgment. And so that's what I just... So I hope you get a sense of what... Oh, don't start asking me questions. Okay. Ask me afterwards.
I just want to say mercy is not receiving what you do deserve.
Yes. I thought you were going to ask me a question. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for mercy, Lord, that you listen to our heart cry and that you respond to that. Thank you that we've heard testimony of that today. Lord, I pray that you would open the ears of our heart and the eyes of our heart, that we would know what that is, that we would love mercy, Lord, and that you would help us to walk more in mercy. and to be merciful. Lord, we recognize that sometimes we're a tax collector and sometimes we're a Pharisee. But we recognize that sometimes we're a bit of a Jonah. But Lord, we give that to you. We say sorry when we do that. And the Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help us and that you'd strengthen us and that you'd guide us in that, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.